another parasha that reiterates what we'd read earlier and reminds the people of how they have to be obedient to Yah's word. So let us pray before I start. Abba Father, open our eyes so that we will see the wondrous things from your Torah today. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, O Yah, because you are my rock and my redeemer. And I ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Well, today I'm, if I can get it up, having problems. Yeah, try that. Today I'm speaking from the parasha, from the end of the parasha in Deuteronomy 11:22-24. And I've titled my message, Retain the Light and Defeat the Enemy. We have to defeat the enemy. He is around, more so today, especially with what's going on in Australia with this same-sex marriage and this blurred gender agenda that they have, where they are trying to telling children that, you know, if it doesn't matter what your genitalia is, if you feel like a boy, you're a boy, and if you feel like a girl, you're a girl. And it's this is the darkness. We have to be aware of what the darkness is. So if we can go, and the darkness is the enemy, and we have to walk in the light at all times. So if we can go to Deuteronomy 11:22-24, please. For if you will take care to obey all these mitzvot I am giving you today, to love Yehovah, your Elohim, to follow all his ways and cling to him, then Yehovah will expel all these nations ahead of you. You will dispossess nations bigger and stronger than you are. Wherever the sole of your footsteps will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to the Lebanon, from the river, the Euphrates River, to the Western Sea. That's not just for them, it's for us today. Wherever we put our foot, we have to take ground. We have to pray and believe that we can beat this bill that they want to put through with same-sex marriage, build the agenda and the political correctness that is trying to get through today. So the land that they were about to enter, that Yehovah is speaking about, had already been promised to Avram. But there was a condition on him and his descendants in how and when they would receive it. So we have to go back to Bereshit or Genesis chapter 15 and verse 7, please, to let us know what Yah said to Avraham, who was Avram at the time. Then he said to him, I am Yehovah who brought you out of the Ur Kasdim to give you this land as your possession. And further down in verses 12 to 16, as the sun was about to set, a deep sleep fell on Avram. Horror and great darkness came over him. Yehovah said to Avram, know this for certain. Your descendants will be foreigners in a land that is not theirs. They will be slaves and held in oppression there for 400 years. But I will also judge the nation, the one that makes them slaves. Afterwards they will leave with many possessions. As for you, you will join your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. Only in the fourth generation will your descendants come back here, because only then will the Emori be ripe for punishment. Verse 18 says, in 15:18, that day Yehovah made a covenant with Avram. I have given you this land to your descendants from the Vadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates River. Now, when Yehovah gave him that prophecy, we have read our parasha readings proving that that's taken place, every word of it. The children of Avram, later known as Abraham or Avraham, not only had to wait until the Emori were ripe for punishment, but they also had to go through a time of darkness and defeating the enemy. Egypt was their enemy. before they could enter the promised land. Four generations, only in the fourth generation was scripture. So four generations in the time of Avram were 400 years. People lived much longer in those days. Moshe lived to 120. Avram lived to a great old age, and Yehoshua, who followed, or Joshua, lived to 110. And if you wished a happy birthday in Israel to this day, they just don't say Yom Huledet Sameach, happy birthday, but they add on to it, and may you reach 120. Because that's what they believe. If it was good enough for Moshe, it's good enough for us. So the Emori were noted to Abram as being wicked. But Elohim would not bring Israel to the land of Abraham's until their wickedness was full. He had to wait until they were ready and ripe to be destroyed. Israel eventually did indeed suffer affliction at the hands of Egypt for 400 years. As soon as Yosef had died, who was shown favor by the Pharaoh in Egypt, another Pharaoh arose, and Egypt afflicted Israel after them having been guests of when Yosef was there. They were treated as guests, and they were treated well. They were given the best land. But then when that Pharaoh died, the next one treated them badly. Avram was given a vision of a smoking furnace when he was promised the land. And that was also mirrored by Moshe after the Exodus. So if we go back to Bereshit 15 and verse 17, it said, after the sun had set and there was a thick darkness, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch appeared, which passed between the animal parts. Now we all know that as they came out of the of Egypt, they were led by a pillar of smoke by day, a pillar of fire by night. In Devarim, in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 20, it says, "No, you, Yehovah, have taken and brought out of the smelting furnace out of Egypt to be a people of inheritance for him, as you are today." The flaming torch that Avram saw in the smoking furnace was the pillar of fire that came to deliver Israel from Egypt. And eventually Israel came to Canaan, the land Avram stood upon, when Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. Yehoshua led Israel at the time, or Joshua. They defeated Jericho, and they defeated Ai, or Ai, whatever you want to call it, Ai is my pronunciation. It was after that that the king of Jerusalem, and his name was Adonizedek, not Adonizedek, but Adonizedek, stirred up fear in them. In Yehoshua chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Yehoshua had taken Ai and utterly destroyed it, he had done the same to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and they were living with them. His people became greatly alarmed because Gibeon was as large as one of the royal cities, larger than Ai, and all its men were courageous. But Adonizedek found four more kings to fight Gibeon, a city who joined with Israel. So Gibeon had joined with Israel, but Adonizedek wanted to fight against them. So he found four more kings. So Yehoshua came down and told, and Yah told him in Yehoshua 10 and verse 8, Yehovah says to Yehoshua, don't be afraid of them, for I have handed them over to you. Not one of their men will stand against you. So it doesn't matter what happened, we aren't to fear, because Yehovah will stand with us. Yehoshua did not hesitate after he heard Yah's words. He marched on and went after the armies in the night. He went in the darkness, which is very unusual to do. In verse 9, it says, having spent the entire night marching up from Gilgal, Yehoshua fell upon them, taking them by surprise. Suddenly, there was no waiting round. Yah had troubled the armies, and Israel slaughtered them. As some escaped, Yah shot down hailstones, killing more than Israel actually slew themselves. But that was not all. Yehoshua knew he was going to destroy these people because Yah had already told him. Yehoshua's method was to slay the kings and hang them on trees as a display. He did that with Jericho's king and with Ai's king. In Yehoshua 8 and verses 25 to 29, it says 12,000 men and women fell that day, everyone in Ai. For Yehoshua did not withdraw his hand, which he had used to point the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the livestock and the spoil of that city did Israel take as booty for themselves, in keeping with the order Yehovah had given Yehoshua. So Yehoshua burned down Ai and turned it into a tell forever, so that it remains a ruin to this day. The king of Ai he hanged on a tree until evening. At sundown, Yehoshua gave an order. So they took his carcass down from the tree, threw it at the entrance of the city gate, and piled on a big heap of stones, which is there to this day. Yehoshua obeyed Yehovah in that he killed everyone. He didn't leave anyone. Yehoshua would not quit until he had defeated the enemy. If he was going to hang the enemy on a tree, the scripture said clearly that a body should not hang after sundown. If it did, it would defile the land. So, and we read that in Deuteronomy 21, 22 to 23. It says, if someone has committed a capital crime and is put to death, then hung on a tree, his body is not to remain all night on the tree, but you must bury him the same day, because a person who has been hanged has been cursed by Elohim, so that you will not defile your land, which Yehovah your Elohim is giving you to inherit. So Yehoshua was obedient in every way. Yehoshua saw the sun going down that day. He knew he had to slay the king of Jerusalem, still to come, and the four others who joined him. He had to wipe out all of the enemies. He wasn't going to give up until he'd wiped out the enemy, until the enemy was defeated. When Yah gives us an order, we can be rest assured that we will be able to carry that order out. Because his word is true. He does not ask us to do things that are too much for us to do. We need to keep this in mind when we face situations that tend to intimidate us. Yah will not let anything come upon us that we cannot bear, carry, or deal with. We might think we can't cope, but actually we can. So Yehoshua suddenly spoke in such an absolute faith. He was the closest man to Yah at that time, and also because Yah had reassured him that everyone who stands before him will come down. So commanded the sun and the moon. So Yehoshua commanded the sun and the moon to stand still. As I said, he still had four more kings to get rid of. Time was against him. I haven't commanded the sun and the stars to stand still yet in my life. I've done a lot of things, but I've never done that one. But time was against him. So no hanging could be done and the king would escape if the battle was not completed during the light. We have to complete the battle during the light. Scripture tells us there is never a day like it. There was never a day like it and before or since. Because it was Yah, Yehovah, who fought for Israel. In Yehoshua chapter 10, verses 12 to 14, it says, "Then on that day, Yehoshua handed over the emery to the people of Israel. Yehoshua spoke to Yehoshua in the sight of Israel. He said, 'Sun, stand motionless over Givon. Moon, you too, over Ayalon Valley.' So the sun stood still and the moon stayed put till Israel took vengeance on their enemies. This is written in the book of Yasha. The sun stood still and the sky was in no rush to set for nearly a whole day." So they held it there for nearly 24 hours. "There has never been a day like that before or since. Then Yehovah listened to the voice of a man. It happened before Yehovah was fighting on Israel's behalf." Word had returned to Yehoshua that the kings had fled into a cave. So Yehoshua commanded huge stones to be laid over the mouth of the cave. When he arrived at the cave, he demanded that they remove the kings. So out came Adonizedek with the four other kings in Yehoshua 10, 24 to 27. And Yehoshua says to them, "Don't be afraid or confused, but be strong and be bold. Because this is what Yehovah will do to all your enemies that you fight against." He was commanding Israel, don't be confused, don't be afraid, be bold and be strong. This is what we have to do now in this day and age, because everyone is going to come against us. With that, Yehoshua struck them and put them to death, hanging them on five trees where they remained hanging until evening. At sunset, Yehoshua gave an order, and they lowered them from the trees and threw them into the cave where they had hidden themselves, then laid big stones at the mouth of the cave, and there they remain to this day. Yehoshua had to hang the kings. He had to finish the battle. But night would end that possibility, for no hanging is allowed to occur in darkness or after darkness. So that's why he demanded the day and the time to stand still. Day and night are not just physical parts of a 24-hour period. They're also spiritual terms. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, "You are all people who belong to the light, who belong to the day. We don't belong to the night or to darkness." That applies to each and every one of you. Further on in verses 8 and 9 it says, "But since you belong to the day, let us stay sober, putting on trust and love as a breastplate, and hope of being delivered as a helmet. For Elohim has not intended that you should experience his fury, but that we should gain deliverance through our Adonai Yeshua, the Messiah." We have been appointed by Yehovah to win and to overcome in our lives. We need to be delivered out of darkness into the light. To do this, we have to put on the full armor and we have to fight. We just can't be do nothing, say nothing. Hence, I fought through the week when I wrote to that newspaper. We are the people of the day, people of the light, and therefore we should not allow darkness of any kind to rule our lives. Amen. In Yochanan, or John chapter 1, he says, "The light is Yeshua, who was in the beginning," in Bereshit, which means in the beginning, Genesis. "When Yah spoke and said, 'Let there be light,' light shone in the darkness." Darkness is the absence of light. If you haven't got light, you've got darkness. Yeshua is the light of this world. We who receive the light were given power to become the sons and daughters of the living Elohim. In Yochanan John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "But as many as did receive him, to those who put their trust in his person and power, he gave the right to become children of Elohim." We have power And we are of the day. We just have to make sure that we take hold of it. Jochanan chapter 9 and verse 4 says, "As long as it is day, we must keep doing the work of the one who sent me. The night is coming when no one can work." No one can work in the night, but we can only work in the day. Having light is also like having a revelation or a word from Yehovah. It is when we are reading his word and he gives us that aha moment, like a light has been turned on that you'd never noticed before, or he's given you a whole new meaning to a particular scripture. When Yah speaks, there is light, and you know it's his word. In 2 Corinthians verse 4 and 6, it says, chapter 4, verse 6, "For it is Elohim who once said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has made his light shine in our hearts, the light of the knowledge of Elohim's glory shining in the face of the Messiah, Yeshua." While we have light, we have faith. And with faith, we will be given revelation, and then we will conquer our enemies. We have light when we know who we are. We have to know who we are and trust in that. It is though Yah says to us, "Be strong. You are my people. I am with you. Nothing can stand in your way. Walk in the light. Live your life according to that light. Walk in faith. When you do, then you will destroy your enemies." But you need a certain kind of faith. It is the faith given by the power of Yeshua HaMashiach that he gave to us when he laid down his life on the stake. Now, the stake was made from what? A tree. It was made from wood. When you hang enemies on the tree, you are actually applying the work of a stake as victory against Hasatan. The key is to maintain your faith. Don't let Hasatan pull you into darkness. Believe Yah and seek the light continuously. You can only work while it is day. When the night comes, when you lose your revelation and your faith, you can no longer defeat the enemy. And that's when he escapes. You were worn out, your faith dwindled. Then you will not apply the work of the stake to the enemy, but will slip into trying to deal with circumstances in your own way. We have to make sure that we don't get trapped into doing it our way. When we lose our spiritual sensitivity, we grow carnal and we lose sight of faith. We do not think to pursue the enemy because Yah is with us. According to our own thinking, we remain worried. We lose the understanding. It's not like riding a bicycle that you never forget to do. But you can lose your faith. You can lose your understanding if you get tricked into going to some other what person's thinking. Yehovah said to Avram and Yehoshua, and therefore to us who believe in Yeshua, whose name in Hebrew is Yehoshua, "Everything we place our feet on is ours." Do we believe it? Do we really believe that we can claim back any territory that Hasatan has stolen? If we do, we have great faith. If we do, we know we can take the enemy down in any manner Yehovah wants us to. The enemy cannot be left hanging after sundown. In other words, you will not be able to apply the stake when you lose your faith and you are not walking in the light. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, and I'm sure you all know this scripture very well. "Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down before you have dealt with the cause of your anger. Otherwise, you leave room for the adversary. I was taught as a very small child, never let the sun go down on my anger. And it's really important. This scripture does not just apply to married couples, it applies to all relationships. To allow the anger to develop overnight allows Hasatan, who lives in the darkness, to step in, and the opportunity of reconciliation could be lost forever. The longer you let it go, the harder it is to get reconciliation. We all know about Yeshua becoming angry and casting out money changers, and there is a time for righteous anger. We must simply make sure that within that anger, we do not sin. I didn't say any wrong words or any bad words in that article, in my anger when I sent it off. But I did give them the facts of what they had failed to do. So I didn't show any anger, but I told them that I was disappointed that they did not include Israel, and these are the facts that you have omitted. And it would be nice if that could be amended. So we have to be careful that we don't allow anger to cause us to sin. But the verses that we're talking about it, about being angry without sinning, which is good, and then it also mentions not giving room to Hasatan. Now, as we all know, room is a place, an occupancy, or a ground. So Yehovah told Moshe and Yehoshua the ground was theirs. Every footprint of Israel was a note of ownership. In other words, whatever ground you can reach and stand on is yours for the keeping. We need to run as fast as we can over the ground that we can step on, and so that we can retain that ground. There were enemies on the ground, and they were about to take. But they were to give no ground to that enemy. They had to take each and every one of the enemy. We give ground to the enemy or Hasatan when we don't get enraged at him and don't pursue him and run him down. He is led off to do more wickedness. With this in mind and thinking of those terms, let's have a look at Ephesians 4:26-27 again. We've already been there once, but I've put it up a second time. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down before you have dealt with the cause of your anger. Otherwise, you leave room for the adversary. Don't let the sun go down before you have dealt with the cause of your anger. It's a personal thing. We have to deal personally with the cause of our anger. It's not something that someone else can do. We shouldn't ever give the blame game, and we must never ever use the you statement. Do you want an argument? Just use you. You did, you don't, you whatever. Get rid of the you statement. I believe that when this happens and this happens, then that will happen. I believe that when this was said, that it was against me. You see, you put it back on yourself, what you're feeling and how what you feel or what you feel happened. Then the person can then counteract that with what actually happened. It's called active listening. And active listening is really important when you're in anger. Because the you statement is so easy to come out. We have to make sure we revert it back to an I statement so that active listening can take place and we can overcome the adversity. It's really important how we approach these things. And that, to me, is how we stay in the light. Stay lit up in faith and revelation. Do not let your revelation dwindle. Keep your faith and light shining walking in the light of your faith, you will finish off the adversary. Whatever mess he is causing, it'll just go away. This Adoni Zedek brought trouble. He stirred up trouble, and Yehoshua was enraged. In Yehoshua 10 and verse 13, it says, "The sun stood still and the moon stayed put till Israel took vengeance on their enemies." This is written in the book of Yeshua. "The sun stood still in the sky and there was in no rush to set for nearly a whole day." We have to avenge ourselves upon the adversary, or Hasatan, if he is at work in our lives. When we lose faith and revelation and light, we cannot think of the right words to use. And we can't use the works of the stake, since that is a very spiritual truth that we've got to keep in our hearts, but we've lost it. We will try to fight in a carnal way with our own carnal thoughts. We have to be careful not to do that. We must stay in the light of revelation and utilize the power of the stake. Yehoshua is, as many of you know, a typology of Yeshua. And in the Hebrew language, as I said before, they both have the exact same meaning in Hebrew. Whatever Yehoshua says in Scripture, if you use Yeshua's name instead, it would have the exact same meaning, because they both were of the same heart and they were both one with Yah. Yeshua is telling us always to remember this, to remember that this is how we will defeat the enemy that ever comes our way. And if we go to Yehoshua chapter 10 and 25, we can put Yeshua's words in there and it'll mean the same thing. Yehoshua said to them, "Don't be afraid or confused, but be strong and bold, because this is what Yehovah will do to all your enemies that you fight against." When we have Yeshua HaMashiach as our Savior and we trust him for all things, he will say the same thing to us. "Don't be afraid or confused, but be strong and be bold. I've got your back, because this is what Yehovah will do for all your enemies that you fight against." Do not let Hasatan get by one day of this fuss with you. Deal with it now. You know whatever it is that he's dealing with you and where Hasatan is attacking you. Deal with it now. Yah spoke and he said, "He is with you. Therefore fear not. Why wait? Go at him. Your enemy was defeated at the stake. It's time to pull down every stronghold of your life that is not of Yah." And before we go to the remembrance service, which without Yeshua, we would not be able to do any of this, let us just remember what he has done for us, where he has brought us, where he has defeated our enemy over time. So I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes just to relax and think about those things and prepare yourself for the remembrance service.